weighing an attack on Syria with cyber weapons.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. This week, Washington is debating the very real possibility of military intervention in Syria, from airstrikes to so-called boots on the ground. But there's another conversation happening around whether the U.S. should attack President Assad's regime with cyber warfare. Proponents point to fewer casualties, but using cyber weapons can draw in other players, and they can also spread beyond their targets. So what might a cyber attack against Syria look like, and what would the repercussions be? Adam Siegel is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Adam, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So give me a sense here of how an arsenal of cyber weapons might be part of some sort of military action in Syria.
I think there's probably two likely types of attacks. There are the attacks that will try to degrade Syrian air defenses, and then there's probably going to be information warfare, spying on Syrian defense officials, government officials, sending messages to Syrian text phones, disinformation campaigns.
Do you feel like using these kinds of weapons would be advisable?
If you can, you know, take out an air system without widespread civilian deaths, or even the power system without truly destroying it, then there are humanitarian reasons to argue it. I think from a military effectiveness point of view, though, it's going to be a hard sell. If U.S. Fighter jets are worried about Syrian air defenses, they're going to really want to know that they're done and destroyed.
A military conflict creates gravity for, I suppose, all sorts of things, but doing something in this situation might actually draw in outside parties that you wouldn't even consider to be part of the fight.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of thinking about it, right, as you kind of create the center of gravity. The retaliation may not just come from Iran or Syria, but as we saw in the conflict between Israel and Palestinians in Gaza, lots of other hackers, anonymous, other groups kind of pile on.
Adam Siegel is the Maurice R. Greenberg Senior Fellow for China Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Adam, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Tonight, the NFL season starts with the Denver Broncos playing the Baltimore Ravens. I will watch the game on NBC, but only because I can't watch it online. Yet. Slate tech blogger Will Oremus has been following rumors that the NFL and YouTube may be teaming up. Still, a big question remains.
Whether Google wants to spend this much money and whether the NFL is willing to take this kind of risk when it's already making so much money through existing broadcast channels.
That said, there is a precedent for this sort of thing.
One of the pioneers here has been Major League Baseball, actually. They have a big interactive arm, and I think we will see a lot of the different leagues look into those sort of opportunities in the years ahead, and certainly Google and YouTube would be a high-powered partner if the NFL wants to experiment with that kind of thing.
For now, though, like bets on tonight's game, a bit of a rematch from last year's playoffs, it's still all speculation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by JoinMe, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me. By Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. And by Kronos, providing cloud-based time and attendance, scheduling, HR, and payroll solutions for organizations of all sizes. More at kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
The other day, I played an old-school-looking computer game that brought me back to my childhood. It's called The Silver Gymnasium, which is also the name of the new album released this week by the band Aukerville River. Frontman Will Sheff composed music for the game as well as the album and played a big role in the game's design. It follows a kid around Sheff's hometown in New Hampshire as he searches for his lost sister. And it's an interesting marketing tool in 2013, built in part by a guy who remembers his family's first computer.
We had an Apple IIc. And we had the Oregon Trail and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I really treasured those games. We also had, like, California games, which was really fun but ultimately kind of super lame sports game.
The Frisbee game was so terrible.
Oh, the Frisbee game. That brings back sense memories. But, yeah, the funny thing about those games, though, is because you're a kid, you're investing a tremendous amount of your own emotional juju into those games.
Mm-hmm.
And forever and ever, I wanted to do a game that kind of mimicked that effect.
You know, obviously the record and the game harken back to your childhood. Why do you think this is sort of such rich subject matter for you and for others?
I found myself almost morbidly obsessing about my childhood. But at the same time, I really wanted to make something that plugged into to other people's nostalgia. Really, the record is very happy sounding and upbeat. And to a certain extent, it's about my childhood and about nostalgia. But to another extent, it's about losing that. And it's about coming to terms with lost time.
Do you think in 2013, artists have to give more than just an album?
I do think that the actual record itself is worth so little now. I mean, when you think about how it's available for free on torrent sites and how it's available for on Spotify and, you know, the artist gets like a couple cents for that. The actual record that you poured all your blood, sweat, and tears into and you lavished with all your love is the thing that's worth the least. And these strange little promotional things end up being important. For me, I want to work in as many different art forms as I can before I die. You know, I like writing. I like making a video game. So it's a great way to have an excuse to do this stuff.
Will Sheff of Aukerville River has a new album out. It's called The Silver Gymnasium, and it goes with a computer game. Will, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
There's a much longer version of my conversation with Will Sheff, along with some gameplay from The Silver Gymnasium, on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Weather? Sure. Soil quality and fertilizers? Sure. All three are important for corn farmers in South Dakota. Also, though, satellite navigation.
I can drive the tractor on a straight path, and I can come back 5 months from now, and it will drive within an inch of that same path.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. More of our collaboration with James Fallows and the Atlantic American Futures is what we're calling it next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.